This is the Word and the Walk podcast, pursuing faithfulness to Christ while being grounded in biblical truth.
Well, Tom, Tyler, and I are back together. Today we're going to be picking back up on our discussion about the promises of God, looking at primarily one passage. I'm sure others may come up in our discussion from 1 Peter 5. This is a passage that some may not think of maybe right away when thinking about the promises of God, but knowing that the promises of God are just indicative truths that he will be faithful to, that the believer can find comfort and assurance, hope in. This passage absolutely gives that for the believer, comfort, encouragement, hope, confidence in God's goodness. And it's from 1 Peter 5, where Peter has just been talking about the call for elders and how they are to conduct themselves. And then he's going to shift to the rest of the church, young men, and then you all, and give vital instruction regarding the virtue that we must possess. And as we pursue that virtue, there are realities about God that come out of that that we find comfort and encouragement in. When the world and hardship and trials are pressing in on the believer, when we're suffering, and particularly suffering because of our connection to Jesus, there is a very real temptation that we all face. And whether or not our suffering is worth it, does God see our pain? Does he understand our affliction? Does he realize our hardship? Does he really have a plan? Is he really faithful? Is he really in control? And in those times, what you believe about God and what you believe about you will be revealed in the furnace of affliction. In those hardships. And so we find ourselves with questions like that oftentimes in the middle of trials, and one mindset or one disposition, one virtue will actually lead in those moments to God's opposition, and one will lead to God's favor or God's grace. And Peter's going to help us understand where we must set our minds and focus our attention when we seek to live for Christ. And so I'm just going to read our passage, and then we can go from there and have a little bit more discussion about where the promise actually lies within this verse and how it helps us navigate our lives unto the glory of God. So 1 Peter 5, verse 5, Peter's transitioning from his encouragement to the elders, and he says, "You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders." And then he shifts, "And all of you, elders, non-elders, men, women, all of the believers in the body of Christ, here's the command: clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. Why? For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Then verse 6 and 7, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you." Tom, would love to hear your thoughts as we read that. Where is the promise? Where is the comfort? And how do we go about embracing that promise and living in such a manner that we can have confidence in that promise for us personally?
Yeah, it is wonderful looking at verse 5, and the verb opposed at the when God is opposed is the indicative that God will be opposed to the proud, but the promise comes after the but. God gives grace to the humble, and that's the promise. God giving grace. And just a reminder as you think about this, you know, what does it mean for God to give grace? It's God giving favor. I am unworthy, I deserve nothing, and God is giving grace to the humble. And there's just so many wonderful applications throughout Scripture, and just even applications just in roles of what we do in our day-to-day life, that we are unmerited, unworthy recipients of God's grace. And that is just a wonderful thing to think about. If you're the employee or the employer, it is a praise God you have a job. It's a praise God you have a position. And just recognizing it's not because I'm so wonderful, but this position God has me is truly a gift from Him. Mm. If you're a mom, you're a dad, this is truly God's grace to me in the role that He has given me. Mm. I don't deserve it. Never deserve to be a dad, but this is what the Lord had for us.
It's helpful, Tom. You know, it's interesting to sit here talking about pride and humility. It's a blessing to sit with you men. I'm not going to help your endeavors in cultivating humility here, but getting to sit with the two men that I esteem for having the virtue of humility in ways that I've just don't experience regularly. Your humility, both of you, is exemplary and such an encouragement to me. Tyler, that has characterized every interaction I can ever think of with you, that you are a humble man. I'd love to hear, when thinking about the reality that God is opposed to the proud but gives grace to the humble, that's just a sobering reality, that when my pride goes unchecked, I'm inviting God's opposition against me. When I'm cultivating humility, well, that actually brings God's favor, His grace bestowed on my life in unique and wonderful ways. Tyler, how do you go about practically cultivating humility in your life?
I know as I was thinking about humility, just knowing we were going to talk about this verse, my first thought was to think about the fact that there is false humility.
That's true.
And Colossians 2:18 and 2:23 both address that self-made religion and self-abasement in order to make yourself look right in front of other men, in order to actually earn favor from God, potentially. And I think the exact opposite of that is found in the context of a lot of parallel passages to the one that we just looked at in repentance. I was just thinking through Matthew 11 and Jesus's statement for I am gentle and humble in heart. And it's interesting, that statement comes after a context of unrepentance. Jesus actually speaks woes to all of these people who have seen miracles and not repented. Verse 20, because they did not repent is why He denounced them. They would have repented long ago, others, if they had seen these miracles. And then He goes into His character is just so different from this. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. I need to be humble, more like Jesus. And I need to demonstrate humility by actually agreeing with what He says about who I am and what I deserve. I am a sinner in need of grace.
Yeah, I've heard it said that, just kind of going along with your first statement there, that humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking about yourself less. There's a way to be very prideful and self-defacing, criticizing self over everything, talking about self. You're actually fixated solely on yourself. That's unhelpful. We need to be sober-minded of sound judgment. We need to think rightly, like you said, about who we are. That comes through the means of agreeing with God about what He said about us, which is so helpful. And so, you know, I think, you know, standing at the foot of the cross, it's hard to be proud. When you watch the greatest expression of humility, the greatest injustice ever, the Son of God, the second person of the triune God, the Messiah, come as Jesus, come in the flesh, living perfectly, and then going to the cross and being crucified. No one started out at a place of higher honor and descended lower than Jesus in his humility. And Philippians 2 helps us understand that. And for that reason, God highly exalted him. And so for us to cultivate humility, I think it comes right, I just completely agree with you, Tyler. It comes back to what you were saying, agreeing with God with what he said about us, and then fixing our eyes on Christ, the perfect expression of humility. Looking to him, what have we received? What do we deserve? How did Christ manifest humility? How can we give of ourselves for others' benefit without expectation of anything in return? And when we do that, we are inviting God's grace into our lives, his favor into our lives. He will bless a life that is committed to living that way.
You know, thinking about humility and just an just seeing this in Paul's life, 1 Corinthians 15:10, Paul recognizing what he truly deserved. He recognized who he truly was before the grace of God and salvation comes upon him. In verse 10 of chapter 15, Paul writes, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. I am what I am because of God's grace. And his grace to me was not without effect." And that needs to be our lives, that God's grace would take effect, that we would just recognize there's nothing special about me. This is just God's grace that I get to do whatever it is as his ambassador, as 2 Corinthians 5:20 would describe us. We're God's ambassador. And this is a gift of grace. Yeah, as we were talking about this earlier, I was just thinking about even to the volunteer serving in children's ministry. It is God's grace that you get to bring the Word of God to even a 3-year-old in the 3-year-old class. I need to do it with diligence, recognizing who it is that I'm representing here. I am representing God. That should just humble me to the core. And it's only his grace to me that I could even speak to a 3-year-old. He doesn't need me, but he's chosen to use us. That's his grace. That's what he promises.
You know, it's interesting, and right after that reality that Peter draws from Proverbs 3:34, that God is opposed to the proud but gives grace to the humble, in verse 6 he transitions, "Therefore, because of this reality, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time." And what does humbling yourself under God's mighty hand and tail of? Well, you see it described there, casting all of your anxiety on him. He uses a participle describing what it looks like to humble. You humble yourself. How do you humble yourself? You casting your anxieties on him because he cares for you, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And so this humbling of yourselves, this cultivation of humility, comes through the means of drawing in and near to God, bringing your anxieties, placing them on him, casting them upon him, bringing them to him because he cares for you. And that's another promise there, another reality as to why you can bring your anxieties to him. The God of the universe cares for you. And so, you know, what's the expression of pride? Self-love, self-will, wanting to control ourselves and others, wanting the outcome that we want, the way that we want it, really an esteem of our thinking above all else, including God.
Even a self-sufficiency of being a mom, a dad, being a student, being a worker, being an employer, being the one that's preaching the message on Saturday night. It's sobering.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord, for using us. You don't need us, and you choose to use us.
Yep. Yep. And when there's temptations to want to do that in our own strength, our own way, through our own power, what God's telling us here, abandon that kind of thinking. Humble yourselves under God. Embrace His word, His commands. You know, what you were talking about, Tyler, from Matthew 11 is so helpful. Coming to Christ as your leader and guide, taking His yoke upon you, humbling yourself under His leadership, casting your anxieties, the worries of this world, your cares, the things that absorb your thinking, bringing those to the Lord humbly, submissively, with a confidence. He cares for you in all of those things. You don't need to control what you can't control. You're just called to trust Him, and you can.
You know, the flip side of that, too. I think it's the flip side, casting all your anxiety on Him. I've talked to so many people that volunteer in the church and just see their unqualification for whatever the task might be. What a wonderful place to start. Mm-hmm. Just recognizing, I can't do this on my own. I need my God to strengthen me to, like I said earlier, to even bring the word to a 3-year-old. Mm. It's just sweet that the Lord would be so kind to give us what we don't deserve. Mm. His grace.
Amen. Yeah. One of my favorite passages, because it sets the bar so high, but also fixes our gaze so high, is Isaiah 66, verses 1 and 2. Thus says Yahweh, thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where then is a house that you could build for me, and where is a place that I may rest? For my hand made all these things. Thus, all these things came into being, declares the Lord. But to this one I will look, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit, and who trembles at my word. Those things go together. To be humble is to be contrite of spirit, and to tremble. That's a package deal. Those things, I believe, are interdependent. No one who esteems themselves over God's word will be humble before God. Mm. And to be humble before God means a humbling of yourself under His word. Thinking about the one who created all things, brought them into existence out of nothing, there is something that guesses that captures His gaze. There is something that invites His favor, His grace, and it is humility. Just makes me really want to strive to depend on Him. Wouldn't we all like to be at a place where we could say our greatest virtue is our humility? Wouldn't that? We could go tell everybody how great our humility. No, it's a lifelong struggle. I know my pride is so eager to creep up in different areas. Peter talks about in chapter 2 that our flesh is waging war against us, and there's not a day where I wake up and whether I realize it or not, my flesh is seeking to produce pride in me.
I think of Proverbs 6. First thing that the Lord hates is haughtiness. Mm. Wow. It's sobering to just think of how kind the Lord is to His children, that He would just lavish us with grace upon grace. Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Just that, I think, helps cultivate humility. Knowing that there are some who are listening, are going to listen to this podcast, maybe be convicted afresh, or maybe even for the first time in regards to their pride, depths of their pride, and then maybe encouraged in unique ways about the reality of God giving grace where there is humility in those that are humble. Love to hear your guys' thoughts. We've touched on it already, but maybe just as we wrap up, top three places to go when thinking about cultivating humility so that we can have confidence of God's grace being brought into our lives. And just for clarity, obviously repentance and faith is an expression of humility. Mm-hmm. I don't believe 1 Peter is first and foremost talking about salvific grace.
Right.
The path to salvation. I think he's right. talking to existing believers yeah. and yes. how we live out our faith in a way that either brings God's
yes.
opposition into not endorsing our prideful living or brings his grace or his favor and bringing blessing upon our godly living in light of the salvation that we've received. And so in thinking about the Christian walk and fighting against pride and for grace, what are maybe some of the starting points, top three ways you might encourage somebody to cultivate humility?
Yeah, the first thing that comes to mind, and it just might just speak to me and nobody else, but Job chapter 42, I think, where Job declares, "I did not know, I did not understand," of just recognizing my low estate before a holy God. Mm. I truly, this is too wonderful for me. Mm. I did not know. Mm. Or maybe in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, that my thoughts aren't his thoughts. Mm-hmm. His thoughts are so much higher than my thoughts.
That's great. Yep.
Two thoughts for me. Ephesians chapter 2 is just so helpful. Mm. And to realize that this is not first and most a chapter to go to for evangelism and thinking about other people. But Paul says, "And you were dead in your transgressions and sins." And he's writing there to the church, mm-hmm. to the believers, including, he includes himself in this statement just a little bit. But remembering who I was apart from God's grace and remembering what he did. Is just so, so helpful. Mm. I am just unworthy, and I had no ability to make myself right before him.
Yeah. Mm.
And I need to be dependent upon that grace still. The other passage is Philippians chapter 2, and just seeing Christ's humility and just our need to imitate that humility.
You know, Tyler, just thinking of that is just a reminder, if you want to grow in humility, study Jesus. Hmm.
That's a great place to end the pursuit of humility, and the putting off of pride is a lifetime endeavor for the believer, but it is a worthy one. May the Lord help us. Thank you, men, for your insights. Love this time together.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Word and the Walk podcast. The Word and the Walk podcast is a ministry of Gilbert Bible Church. For more information, please visit our website at gilbertbible.com.